WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're going to be talking about some new laws that are going to be taking effect dealing with those of you who are sportsmen. Gene Kennedy is with us. And Gene, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Good to have you with us.
Thank
today.
You.
And starting July the 1st, there are going to be some changes in Tennessee laws. Tell us about those.
Well, there are two laws that are going to be effective July 1st. One, for years, knives have been restricted pretty much in the state of Tennessee, but effective July 1st under Senate Bill 1771, switchblades, Bowie knives, the length of knives, it all changes. So people who may have had a switchblade just as a token within their home are now allowed to carry it. And this has nothing to do with a handgun permit. This is for any individual who's not a felon and would want to carry one.
Okay, so starting July 1st, if you choose to carry a switchblade, you can do so.
Other types of knives.
Bowie knife.
Yes.
Bowie knife's a good-sized knife.
Good-sized knife.
And you'd wear that in a sheath, I guess.
You would wear it in a sheath. You can keep it in your vehicle. Be up to the individuals what they want to do.
But they can wear it around.
They can wear it around.
Okay.
And for years, switchblades have been restricted, and they still are by most states. Under this bill put in by Senator Bell, it allows it to be for them to be carried.
Mm-hmm. Wonder what the thinking was on that. Has it been proven that they're not as dangerous as they once were, or what?
I really can't. I can't really go into that. You'd have to ask Senator Bell, but I'm sure most bills like this, when they come in to a senator, are reflected by one of their constituents, and something either happened, or if he thinks that hunters should have more capability of carrying other things, that could be it. I just don't know.
Okay, so starting July 1st, not too long away, for those of you here in Tennessee, you don't have to have a permit or anything.
No.
You can carry switchblades or Bowie knives.
Yes, and other forms of knives. It's really just about knives. Mm-hmm. Now, another one that takes effect July 1st, which I think is more controversial, for years, people who did not have a handgun permit were not allowed to carry any form of firearm loaded within their vehicle. It had to be unloaded, ammunition separated from the firearm. However, effective 1st, under Senate Bill 1774, also by Senator Bell, an individual who is legal to own a firearm may now carry one within their vehicle. It doesn't have to be concealed, does not have to be in the open. It can be loaded, and that's it. It's in their vehicle. They may not carry it outside on the street, but if they're going on a vacation or they're traveling, they're allowed now to keep that within their vehicle.
In Tennessee?
In Tennessee.
Okay.
Now, there are other states that allow a similar law, and I have a publication that's coming out that's going to address that to these people, but currently I'm speaking about Tennessee.
Now, we've had in the news over the past year incidences where students have had a hunting rifle in the back of their truck, inside the vehicle, but on behind the back seat, or somewhere in the truck. And sometimes it was loaded, sometimes it wasn't, but it was used for hunting, and they didn't think about having it there. And with the school's zero tolerance, they were suspended.
Right?
Would this law affect them?
No. The universities and colleges still have the prohibition regarding firearms. And the individual who does not have a handgun permit that is carrying a loaded firearm within their vehicle still must be aware of the laws in Tennessee restrictions where they may not carry a firearm. So it's not like they just stick it in their car and know nothing about it. They need to know where they may not carry it, which is very similar to, in fact, exactly the same as a person who has a handgun permit.
Okay, so there's a big difference if you have a handgun permit or don't.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that the individual who does not have the handgun permit must still still do what a handgun permit holder has to do. An example, federal buildings, locations where they may not carry a loaded gun. So those situations they need to know about.
Okay. But if you're going to carry a gun on you, you need a carry permit.
You need a Tennessee handgun carry permit, yes.
Okay. And what is involved in getting one of those?
By law, it stipulates 4 hours in the classroom and 4 hours in the gun range. So basically, it's a one-day class. Cost factor is up to the instructor. I think one of the least expensive is in the state of Tennessee. There's a person by the name of Dennis Mankin. He does it in one day. It's $50. And that's basically it. You go over mostly safety laws, and then you fire to make sure that you're competent in shooting.
Okay. So does that make a big difference in your ability to use the gun, do you think?
It's more of a safety class. No class that's done by a state really goes into a lot of shooting techniques. It basically comes down to if you don't shoot the instructor, you pass. I mean, that's the way I've always thought about it. So, but it gives people something that they never thought about. If you keep a handgun at home and may never want to carry it on the street, you have a much better chance in court if something came up that would put you in a trial. What I'm saying is the jury. Normally, the majority of the jury don't even think you should have used a firearm. However, the one thing that always seems to stick in their mind is that person was authorized by the state of Tennessee to use that firearm. So as far as I'm concerned, it always helps an individual protect themselves in case something ever would happen in the future.
So it's good to have a handgun permit even if you're just having a weapon in the house.
That's always been my fault, my thought. And now, you know, there are 38 states that honor the Tennessee handgun permit. So if you take a trip, a business trip, a vacation, you're allowed to be able to take something to protect yourself and your family.
It's sad to say that you have to think about that these days.
You do. It's just unbelievable. I've seen situations where permit holders have been involved in shootings that you just never hear about. The one thing that always hits in my mind is, does a handgun permit, has it helped reduce crime in the state of Tennessee? Well, last year, the FBI crime report of the most violent states to live in put Tennessee at number one. But the one that always gets to me that I know reduced crime was in Brighton, Tennessee. I won't go into his name, but the individual who was young in his 20s involved himself in a situation where two sisters were being attacked by a sexual predator. Well, he stopped that predator. And to me, that definitely reduced crime in the state of Tennessee.
I don't think you'll ever find a day or two go by here in Rutherford County that there has not been an incident.
Correct.
Of someone being shot. It's in the news today, as a matter
right.
of fact. And so one person had a handgun. And usually, if there is a so-called bad guy, that person could care less about having
Correct.
A handgun permit or not. They're the ones who are armed.
The thugs are going to carry their guns. There's no question about it. They have to survive on the streets, and that's one reason why they do it. It's not always to attack other people. A lot of times it's to attack themselves against the other thugs. A thug is a thug. There's no question about it. So having a handgun permit allows you, an individual, to be able to protect not only themselves, their family, but others that might be in danger of being hurt or killed.
Now, I hear about stories of Scandinavian countries, I think Switzerland's one of those, who has all the citizens are encouraged to have weapons.
Sure.
And as a result, crime is low in Switzerland. And outside forces are thinking twice. You don't hear much about invasions of Switzerland.
No.
because they don't want to mess with a large population that's armed, I would guess.
Well, you also have one that's even closer than this, which is Kennesaw, Georgia. Kennesaw, Georgia has a statute on their municipality books that every person over the age of 21, a male, who is not a felon, is supposed to keep a firearm at home. Well, you don't hear a lot of firearm incidents where people are invading homes within Kennesaw, Georgia. So, and on July 19th of this of July, I'm doing a seminar for handgun permit holders, which includes the state of Tennessee, includes a lot of other people, and people who have been involved in shootings. Because mm-hmm. I think it's about time now that people, once you receive your handgun permit, there's no requirement to do anything else. This is going to now bring people up to date on not only laws, but things they need to know about.
So tell us a little more about that, if you would.
Sure. The handgun permit seminar is going to go over incidents that have happened in Tennessee. It's going to go over what people should do if they're ever involved in a shooting. We provide cards, one for law enforcement, one if a weapon is stolen, one if a person is hurt, they can't speak to a medical responder, to give them information about the medical history. Another form if they're involved in a shooting. Most people that I've seen that have been involved in a shooting, handgun permit holders, can barely remember after the incident what happened. Now I give them a form they keep in their wallet, and at the scene, not speaking to police, but at the scene, they make the information on the card, so later on they can't forget. Also, I go over situations that then are bound in a publication, sent to them, certified mail, so that in court, if they're ever called in court, there's evidence that they had knowledge prior to the incident. In court trials, sometimes a person is restricted from using certain information because they have to have knowledge of that before the incident occurred. So now they have documentation that they could always use in court.
Tell me this, on people who are getting handgun permits, are they increasing? Is there a certain age group that seems to be more noticeable on increasing the number of handgun permits, or is there any trend at all?
The trend seems to be more from women. There are more women who are becoming armed than males. I think the largest category is within the 50 to 60 area, but every time an individual turns 21, there's great numbers that go into that. But women seem to be the bulk.
Okay, so women are, I guess, seeing a need for protection.
They are. And the one thing that I go over, which does not seem to be talked about a lot, is I go over, not only for women, but mostly women, if they have taken their handgun permit and they have a firearm that has been suggested they use, and it's primarily a semi-automatic firearm, and they don't have a chance to practice a lot, I strongly urge them to carry a revolver. Because if something happens in an incident, you pull a trigger on a revolver, if it doesn't shoot, you pull it again. And that's what they need. They need something that's quick and hopefully accurate.
Now, which is best for protection, say, in a home, a revolver or a rifle that has buckshot and stuff like that in it?
Well, I would use my ex-wife, but other than that, I think a shotgun within a home is more beneficial, primarily because it's very difficult to shoot a pistol. People don't really think about that, but with a shotgun, the blast that goes out covers a fairly good region. And you can also rack a shotgun if you hear somebody coming in, and they should know what that is. I've seen incidents where people have used everything from AR-15s to this to that. And the problem you also have is the penetration if they miss somebody, especially in an apartment complex. So a shotgun, to me, is a lot better.
Okay, and as you said, it's a broad range. It just splatters out.
It does.
So you don't have to be a great shot.
That's
a great
the whole
aim.
Thing, right.
Yeah. A pistol is you have to be pretty close to target.
Not only pretty close, you have to remember that under that type of situation, especially a home invasion, the people are shaky, they're nervous, they don't know exactly what's going on, and sometimes they even pull the trigger before they want to shoot it. So with a shotgun, they're not going to miss that far. it's just something that makes them a little bit easier. Now, is it more difficult to carry around? Yes, but it's your home. You know the terrain. That person does not. So hopefully it'll help more people than just a pistol alone.
For persons with children, how do you teach the children respect for guns?
Well, it starts at the home. You have, when they want to know or, and they get curious about a firearm, whatever you're doing, you take the time and you let them touch it, to use it, to teach them the areas regarding firearm safety. And the one thing they may not do is, if a friend comes over, is not to touch anything. I go over that in depth in the seminar, primarily because there have been so many shootings. And most people hear about shooting safety or safety shooting, think it's always for other people. I point out that the people that I've seen involved in deadly shootings are those same people. Thought they knew everything. Not too long ago, a trooper, highly trained individual, had his granddaughter at his home, and his carry gun was left out. The child grabbed it, shot herself, killed herself. Mm. It's in Bradley County. And I think what they did, the people on jury, they put everybody within that home over the age of 21 under a charge of criminal homicide, just to make a point. Unfortunately, you know, the grandfather is no longer a trooper, and then unfortunately the child is no longer around. So that causes a big problem. You can get a handgun permit, you can buy a handgun, you can keep it at home, but without the areas of constantly being safe with it, problems can always exist, not only with your own family, but with someone that comes in to visit your children.
I tell you what, let's do. Let's pause for just a moment, as we do each day at this time, and check on the traffic and weather. And when we come back, we will be in the segment where you can call with any questions dealing with the changes in state laws, the ability to carry a switchblade or a Bowie knife, if you wish. And also, change. These are coming into effect July the 1st in Tennessee. And also laws that will enable you to carry a gun in your vehicle without a carry permit. That can be starting July 1st. And if you have a weapon, what are some of the things that you have found that makes you feel a little bit more secure at home without worrying about your children or grandchildren? 893-1450, Gene Kennedy is with us this morning, and he's an expert in firearms. If you have questions, give us a shout. 893-1450. We'll be right back.
We got some good neighbors, and we like bragging on them. Nominate a good neighbor every day. Put it in writing on WGNS. WGNS. AM.
Hi, this is
FM.
Dave Evanimi at Music World and Drummers Den. We'd like to mention here at Music World and Drummers Den, we've got a great lesson program for all ages and all levels. Our instructors are top-notch. I happen to be one of them. I've got 40 years behind the drums. I can teach you a thing or two about drums. You can have fun. You can learn to play in a short amount of time. This is Dave Kivenimi at Music World and Drummer's Den on South Church Street across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
Hello, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurant, a family restaurant tradition for four generations, now in our 24th year, serving our most popular menu item, great-tasting oven-baked chicken soup. Back in 1989, when my mom and dad were planning Demas's, they debated whether baked chicken soup should even be on the menu. Both agreed that it was a good item, but they weren't sure it would be accepted. Because my dad and his sisters had eaten it all of their lives, especially when anybody had a bad cold, they decided to risk it. They did it, and now I can say the rest is history. We made over 65,000 gallons last year and make more every day. We sell it by the cup, bowl, quart, or gallon. You can even freeze it for shipping or to save it for a later date. Give yourself a treat today. Baked chicken soup. Buy it in the store or get it to go. Demas's Restaurant in Murfreesboro, Lebanon, downtown Nashville, and Hendersonville. Get your chicken soup today.
Play it again, sports!
Your baseball and softball headquarters.
Whether it's bats, gloves, pants, or training aids, we've got a great selection to get you on the diamond this summer. Name brands like Easton, Louisville Slugger, and Worth, but at Play It Again Sports Prices, we're on Thompson Lane.
Good morning. Looking good in Murfreesboro right now. Traffic easing I-24 at 96, I-24 Medical Center Parkway. Traffic easing O-Ford Parkway at Bridge Avenue. O-Ford Parkway at Chapin Place. O-Ford Parkway at Kaysen Lane with traffic easing. I-24 at 231 Church and Middle Tennessee Boulevard. Memorial Boulevard Medical Center Parkway. All traffic easing for us after 8. If you need extra cash, refinance your vehicle at Old Hickory Credit Union with a 1% cash bonus of $500. The day of closing. For more information, just log on to OHCU.org. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
We'll see a few spotty showers and storms this afternoon. Increasing cloud cover, high in the mid-80s, and southwest winds between 5 and 15 miles per hour. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 75.
This weather on WGNS brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Thank you for making our first 5 years here in Murfreesboro so successful. This is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard. Call 615-494-4200. Member FDIC.
We take you to the local games. We're WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450.
Can't leave my sweater, cause we have nothing left to weather. In fact, I feel a whole lot better. But you think of me, you think of me.
Our number is 893-1450. Gene Kennedy's with us this morning. We're talking about being armed in Tennessee, some of the laws that are changing on July the 1st. The number to call if you have a question or if you have a comment this morning, 893-1450, 893-1450. And you mentioned even people who are very highly trained in weapons, they, being humans, make mistakes and accidents happen. Sometimes tragedies happen. And we see this in the news also regularly. A person will be cleaning a weapon or showing it to someone, and it goes off and they're injured, sometimes fatally, sometimes not. Thank goodness for that. But injuries, can you avoid them? I mean, this is just human nature, it sounds like.
Well, I don't really consider it human nature when you go into safety, primarily because one of the biggest areas regarding incidents where safety has come about is when people have carried their firearm for years and now forget the areas of safety. I gave you an incident in Smyrna, Tennessee. A young police officer came home. He had a wife. He had a small child. And when he came home, he took his duty belt off and left it on the table. He went into the other room to talk to his wife. When the child got a hold of the gun, pulled it out of the holster, shot the father in the back and killed him. That's just one incident. The problem you have with safety is of people forgetting about safety and thinking about it's not for them, it's all for the other people. I can't tell you how many times I've been at a gun show and a firearm has gone off. It happened right here in Murfreesboro. Nobody was hurt, but the problem you have is not an accident, it's a negligent discharge. That person did not have the knowledge to be able to keep a firearm unloaded in the areas where they should not have been. So it leaves a lot up to the individual.
Let's talk about your Tennessee handgun carry permit seminar that's coming up and some of the things that you're going to be covering, because I think that's important for people to know what is covered. Let's start at the beginning. As you open the session, what would you be covering?
Well, the first speaker we have is Lisa Knight, who is the director of the Handgun Permit Department. She will go over some of the new laws and other areas addressing permit holders themselves. And although I'm doing this at the Embassy Suites, there's room for about 100 people. There's going to be a session in the morning, a session in the afternoon. You have to remember there's 18,000 plus permit holders in the state of Tennessee. So I just don't have enough funding to have everybody come at one time. There is a fee. Tickets are available both at Murfreesboro Outdoors and the outdoor armory. And what we're trying to do is not only go over the laws, but go over things that permit holders have not known about. An example, actual shootings that permit holders have been involved in, how they handled it, what happened afterwards, were they charged with a crime. I go over open or concealed carry because this year there was a big push for constitutional carry. I'm not a person who objects to it. It's just that I think that open carry without the knowledge of knowing how to do it can be a problem. An example, in Virginia, a 22-year-old man who had a pistol on his side was in front of a convenience store. A teenager came up, grabbed that pistol, went into the convenience store, shot two people. The owner of the gun went inside, he shot him, and within 24 hours shot two more people. That whole incident was because of one thing. The gentleman who had the pistol did not have a retention holster, nor did he know anything about retention. Most times when people carry in the open, they carry to see other people so that they can more or less make a judgment on their own gun laws within that state. They're not doing it for self-defense. How many times have you seen a police officer off duty carry his weapon on his side? He wants it to be concealed. He wants to have the opportunity to make the decision when and if he has to pull that gun. With the situation that happened in Sinker's Liquor Store in Nashville, you had only two people that were customers at that time. And I go over this with crime scene photos and everything at the seminar. The individual who had the handgun permit was told to lay on the floor, as the other customer was. The thugs did not know he had a handgun permit. They had cased the joint and saw that the employers did not carry a weapon. The only thing they had was a bat. And these were violent criminals. It allowed the individual on the floor who had the handgun permit the time to make his own decision about what to do. When he thought he was able, he stepped up to the plate. He fired at the individuals. There was a gunfight. He was competent enough to be able to shoot the attacker more than one time. But there was a gunfight within the store. He actually had to do a tactical reload. The armed robber fell in the parking lot and died on the way to the hospital. But the permit holder was fine. There are other incidents like that that we never hear about. We hear about the thugs shooting each other because they shoot each other. That's what a thug does. But we rarely hear about the incidents where the handgun permit has helped save individuals. Could be the primary individual who carried the gun, or it could have been someone else. So I go over that. I go over documentation that's necessary. I'm not saying that the majority of people come to the seminar are going to be involved in the shooting, but they are carrying a lethal weapon. If they are, they need to know the things that are important to them if something happens that takes them into a trial. So without prior knowledge of certain incidents, I go over that. I go over situations that police officers do for training so that if they're ever called in court, they have the prior knowledge about a certain situation. I go over that. I want these people to to understand that they're carrying a lethal weapon and anything can happen.
So is it good for them to, you indicated that it's best to conceal the weapon.
Oh, yes.
Have a sport coat on or a jacket or something.
Anything.
Where you don't see the weapon.
The problem you have is there are so many, especially in Rutherford County, the gang members. I went into actual prisons within the state of Tennessee when this constitutional carry was coming up, and I asked violent thugs, if you saw somebody walking down the street that had a firearm on their side without a badge, what would you do? Would it intimidate you? Almost to one, they said, oh, no, you know, if the dude has a gun, that's what we do. We take stuff. You always sell guns. We can always sell guns for drugs. So I thought at that point that they had already realized, hey, this might be a way for us to make more money. So
it marks the innocent person as a way to gain money.
Sure, sure.
Let's take his weapon.
That's what they said. It surprised me at first, but then I thought about it and said, that's what they do. So
So you're putting a sign out.
You're putting a sign on your back. That's all it is. There have been situations where when bank robbers went into the bank and the first thing they do is shoot the guard. I mean, and it's going to be similar for anybody they don't know who's carrying a firearm. In Kansas City, there was an individual who had a office next to a bank. He heard shots fired. He then said, well, wait a minute, I got a handgun permit. I'll go down and see if I can assist the police. He goes down. The thugs see him. He sees the thugs, but they were quicker than he was, and he was dead within seconds. Mm. I go into, should you be a shooter or should you just be a good witness? It's not mandatory that you, because you carry a firearm, have to jump in every situation. That's why we have people that have blue suits and brown suits that wear badges and guns. It's up to them. That's their job. I've seen situations where people have jumped into incidents and have either been hurt badly or been charged with a crime. And I just think that there isn't enough knowledge by not only permit holders, but people that keep firearms. So the one thing about this seminar is I'm trying to bring people up to the level where they're now more confident about carrying a firearm.
Okay. So, again, and what's spurring this on is a change in Tennessee law that comes into effect July 1st. And let me mention this again. Starting July 1st, you can carry a weapon, a gun, in your vehicle without a carry permit. You can carry a gun in your vehicle without a carry permit. Is that loaded or unloaded? Or
does it is matter? Loaded.
Loaded, yeah. Okay.
Prior to this bill, you could carry an unloaded gun in a vehicle if you were capable of owning a firearm. But the firearm and the ammunition had to be separated, so there was not a quick movement to put those two together. Now you can carry it. And I must point out something that was a little bit striking to me. If you have a handgun permit, you're also now allowed to carry a rifle or a long gun in your vehicle, but you may have the magazine loaded, but it may not be chambered. Only in a self-defense situation can it be chambered. Under this new law, if you wanted to carry a long gun in your vehicle without a handgun permit, there is no definition of where the ammunition has to be carried, so that gun can be loaded. So I thought it was a situation where it wasn't vetted enough, because now you have an individual who doesn't have a handgun permit being able to do more than a person who has a handgun permit. I think this will change in the future as they go through the laws again.
That other law that comes into effect July 1st allows you to carry a Bowie knife or a switchblade anytime.
Anytime.
And no problems at all. Yeah, when I first heard this, some things came to mind. But then as I heard you talk about visiting the thugs in the
prison
places, they said, I look at that as, that's something to get and sell. Would that be true with switchblades and Bowie knives too?
They always carry something, but a thug is a thug. So a thug wants something that's bigger. If they could carry a shotgun or an AR-15 without people seeing it, they carry it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a big thing about knives with them. It used to be in the 80s because there weren't that many guns, you know, so you had more people stabbed. I was stabbed one time in Newark, New Jersey when I was a teenager because that was what was on the street. And now a permit holder has a lethal weapon at his side. The one thing I suggest people do from time to time is carry a non-lethal weapon. Not an edge weapon, but let's say some chemical spray or something else, because it's not mandatory. They always have to shoot. There can be a situation where it could be dangerous, but by eliminating the danger and getting out of the area, you've brought yourself in a situation you may not have to face any type of charges. So I think that should be done more within the handgun carry permit training itself. But the training is just for primarily gun safety. And as I was one who was involved in that in the beginning, it also was to keep the state from having a lawsuit so that nobody could sue them in case an innocent person got shot. And I haven't seen a lot of that at all.
Okay. So all of this is going to be covered in your special Tennessee Handgun Carry Permit Seminar. And when will that be?
It'll be on July 19th. There'll be two seminars, one at 8 a.m. and one at 1 p.m. at the Embassy Suites Hotel.
Now, when you finish this seminar, will you be capable of carrying a firearm? Or
no, this is for actual permit holders, to bring them up.
Okay.
Because the reason behind that is once you have your handgun carry permit, you've been issued by the state of Tennessee, there's no further requirements. The only requirement is to pay the state every 4 years, $50. That's it. That's the renewal fee. But I've seen people who have the same pistol in their pocketbook or in their holster and have not shot it since they had their handgun permit. That's dangerous.
You need to keep aware of how to do this. You need to keep your skills up.
Not only just your skills, the pistol itself. I've seen so much stuff in a gun that's been kept in the pocketbook, you pull the trigger and the person's going to get hit by a Kleenex. You know, it's just crazy. So I go over that, and I go over areas where that did happen, where the pistol was not functional because of not being kept properly.
Okay. So you do have to maintain them. You have to, when you see military personnel cleaning their weapons, this is not just a drill. This has a reason.
The reason is you have a lethal weapon at your side to save your behind or somebody else. So you would think that people would take the time not only to clean their weapon but to practice more. Any police officer, any active duty military person goes through training, and that is one thing, to always keep the nerves and the reaction time up so that if something is needed, their body reacts to the problems that is now coming against them.
We're talking today about handgun carry permits. We're talking about changes in Tennessee law that will become effective July 1st. For example, starting July 1st, you can carry a weapon. It can be loaded. You can carry it in your vehicle without a permit. You can carry it in the vehicle without a permit starting July 1st. Another law that also comes into effect July 1st, you can carry Bowie knives and switchblades, similar knives, all the time without any law being against that. That's starting July 1st here in Tennessee. We'll be back and continue the conversation. Gene Kennedy is with us this morning. And I don't know what to do, 'cause I'll never be with you.
Money issues? There's somebody local you can talk to. Financial Coaching Radio with local certified financial planner Jason Qualls. Weekdays 4 to 5 on WGNS.
At the Salvation Army Family Store, you can get bargain prices on clothes, furniture, household goods, electronics, and more. Here's Lieutenant Andy Seiler.
Wednesdays, it's half off everything in our store except for furniture and appliances, so you can come in and get half off our clothes, books, DVDs, and other items that you need for your house.
Keep it local. Donate here.
We accept items 10 to 6, Monday through Saturday. We also pick up donations Tuesdays and Thursdays.
The Salvation Army Family Store is at 125 South Front Street, open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across from Toots.
I'm Greg Tidwell.
And I'm Lisa Halliburton. Bell Jewelers welcomes you.
What you can expect at Bell Jewelers: free estimates on our clock, watch, pocket watch, and jewelry repair. Free jewelry cleaning and prong check while you wait.
Bell Jewelers, the current leader in jewelry trends and in-house jewelry and watch repair.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across from Toots.
Bell Jewelers, family owned and operated since 1879.
Weather Eye.
We'll see a few spotty showers and storms this afternoon. Increasing cloud cover, high in the mid-80s, and southwest winds between 5 and 15 miles per hour. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 75.
That update brought to you by Valvoline. Valvoline introduced motor oil back in 1866, and they've been reinventing it ever since. Valvoline, 140 years under the hood. For more information on how to get your own free American flag, go to ValvolineUSA.com.
This is Alex Johnson.
And this is Crystal Dangerfield.
On behalf of the Letty Blaze, we would like to give a special thanks to the Murfreesboro community and Blackman supporters.
As we celebrate our state and national championship season, please help us by visiting ucaring.com/LadyBlaze.
A radio station that's all about saving you money. Hear Clark Howard weekdays 11 to 1, Dave Ramsey 1 to 4, and the Financial Coaching Radio Show 4 to 5.
Like my father's come to pass, 7 years has gone so fast. Wake me up when September ends.
Welcome back. Gene Kennedy is with us this morning, and we're talking about Tennessee laws that are changing that will allow, starting July 1st, guns to be carried loaded in your vehicle without a carry permit. And another law that comes into effect July the 1st is you can carry a Bowie knife or switchblade anytime. No laws against that one. That law goes away. And are these laws being changed in other states as well?
I don't see the switchblade being changed in other states. In fact, most states have a restriction very similar to Tennessee, and a lot of them say it's a federal law. And I believe when drugs first came in, there were switchblades in glove compartments. When an individual went in to get their supposedly get their driver's license or insurance, they'd pull out the switchblade and hit the officer, and that's why that came in, especially because they were carrying it from state to state, so it went under intercommerce. But I don't see these laws being changed a lot. Now, in Kentucky, if you their license is called the Carrying Concealed Deadly Weapons License. You may carry anything. You may carry knives. You may carry shotguns. You can carry things that I don't even know what they are. But that's only in Kentucky. If they travel to the state of Tennessee, which recognizes their handgun permit, I mean their CCDW license, they're restricted to carrying pistols. So it depends on the state. Almost every state that has reciprocity, they're speaking about handguns.
Now, you mentioned earlier about why it's important not to show your handguns. If you have a sport coat on or a jacket, or if it's a woman and they have a purse, those are easy places to conceal them.
Correct.
If it's a hot day and you're wearing a T-shirt and slacks or shorts, it's not as easy to conceal. How can people conceal them?
Well, even in hot days, you can pull a T-shirt over or something over a weapon. And not everybody carries a 45 or 50 caliber. Sometimes they're smaller. I don't see too many people going to the beach carrying a pistol, though. You know, they're normally in a bag or something. The only problem I have with what I've seen people carry, a lot of times people will carry a smaller pistol because it is easier to conceal. The one problem I've seen that I think people need to realize is during the wintertime when people carry more clothing, a smaller pistol like a 380 is hard to penetrate the clothing that people wear. I spoke to a police officer up in New Jersey one time who shot an individual during the wintertime with his backup weapon because in the tussle his original carry issue gun was gone. He shot this person three times, center mass, didn't even bother him. And later on, they found out it never went through the downing of his jacket. Well, he doesn't even talk about 380s anymore. He now carries a 40 caliber as his backup. So I can understand why. And it's just the scary incident that happens to somebody, especially on a pistol when they pull the trigger and nothing happens. And that's why I suggest when not only women but men cannot practice a lot with a semi-automatic. If it has a malfunction, you have a stovepipe, if it has whatever, and they don't know how to take care of it in a incident where their life's at danger, carry a revolver. I would say 90% of the people within the state of Tennessee and most of the states they carry a semi-automatic. They do that because they see a lot of movies, they see police officers carrying and this and that. They don't really think about an actual situation where their life is in danger. So to me, that's a big thing that people need to understand.
You know, I can see how people would inherit a pistol or something of that sort and think this is going to be used as my protection. I'll just keep it here in the bedroom with me, or I'll keep it in the car with me, and they load it and everything. Never learn how to use it. Never see if it works properly. They just put bullets in it and say, we're safe now.
We're safe.
Is that an accident looking for a place to happen?
It is. And I'll tell you something else. And I've seen this a lot with people that have carry permits. Ammunition nowadays is very expensive and also sometimes hard to get. So they go to the range periodically and they shoot their carry gun with fairly cheap ammunition that they can buy at Walmart or any other gun store. The problem you have, and they don't realize it until it's too late, is when they buy the expensive self-defense ammo, stick it in their carry gun, they never even shot it, go outside on the street, something happens, they pull the gun, they go to shoot the gun, and the ammunition is not compatible with their pistol. Now what? They might as well throw that gun and practice running as quick as they can, because that's what's going to happen. And it's unfortunate. I've seen it happen over and over again. So just getting a handgun permit gives the person the ability to legally carry a firearm at their side. Now with this law, you can still carry a firearm within your vehicle if you travel, and you don't have to have a handgun permit. There are some individuals I know that are married, could never get their spouses to have a handgun permit, but I think they would carry a weapon within their vehicle if they were taking a trip.
And so you're saying if you are using less expensive ammo and you switch to the better grade ammo, you could have a problem.
You could definitely have a problem. And why practice is important, and I proved this with when a police department, any law enforcement department, changes to a different weapon, especially a handgun, over a short period of time, you find a number of officers hurt or killed because of they think weapon malfunction. It really wasn't weapon malfunction. It was the lack of time to constantly practice with that firearm. There could be a button, there could be something you pull, there could be this, could be that. Same thing with a civilian. If they don't practice with what they have, and especially if it's a semi-automatic, there are more chances for that pistol to have something go wrong with it than if they carried a revolver. So practice with a revolver comes down to shooting. Practice with a semi-automatic comes with not only shooting, but clearing the malfunctions. So there is a big difference.
Our guest this morning has been Gene Kennedy, a local gun expert with us. And again, Gene, when is that seminar coming up?
It's July 19th. It's at Embassy Suites Hotel. Tickets are available at Murfreesboro Outdoors and the Outpost Armory, and also online at legallyarmed.com.
Gene, thank you for joining us today.
Very welcome.
Stay with us in just a moment. We will be heading up to the Murfreesboro Civic Plaza. Today is Police Memorial Day. Stay with us. This is WGNS Murfreesboro.